Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Episode 30 of This Is Us 2 is brought to you by Minute with Mary. So I'm doing free All About the Eyes seminars and helping you understand which lip shade is your best lip shade for your undertone. You know, all those things that you're like, meh, I kind of know, but I don't really know. Well, guys, I'm here to help you. So all you need to do is search the hashtag Minute with Mary on Facebook to find out more.
I think everyone sees their childhood with different lenses. Different perspectives. And I didn't come here today to crap all over your perspective, Kev. I came here today because last year, when I was at my lowest, bro, I was crying on the floor and I was shaking and, hey, Kev, look at me, please. You were there for me, man. And I wanted to be there for you today and I wasn't. I did a bad job today, and I'm sorry.
I'm sorry about Tess.
I know.
I love my crazy-ass brothers. I really do.
So just to clarify, it's official that I'm mom's favorite, right?
Is this guy for real? Yes, you are.
I mean, she clarified it.
From Cranston, Rhode Island, welcome to This Is Us 2. It's a podcast dedicated to This Is Us on NBC, so sit back, relax, and let's all have a good cry. Hello, everyone, and welcome. I'm Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and I've realized that some of my favorite episodes of television have included at least one therapy session in them.
Are you serious?
I love episodes of television that includes therapy. I mean, of course, we all know Hannibal, the amazing show Hannibal on NBC. It was fantastic. It was all about therapy. But as I was watching this one, I was thinking about Gilmore Girls, as a matter of fact, when Lorelai and Emily had to have their
yes,
therapy sessions
in the newest season.
And I thought that was just spectacular when that was happening. So that was my... I really love therapy episodes of television. I don't know why.
You know, because it gets to the nitty gritty. There's no way that you can like dodge around it. People have to sit there for an hour and they got to talk. But I totally agree with you. I mean, I had an experience in family therapy. Have you had family therapy?
I've never had family therapy. And I think I'm... No. I know I'm grateful that I've never had family therapy because I feel like it would be a very bad thing for me.
Oh.
It would... Mm-mm.
Yeah, I'll tell you. So I went in family therapy when my parents were starting to separate. Things were getting a little wonky. They actually weren't separating. They thought I was bad.
See, what do you mean?
I'm pretty much the Kevin. Remember I've told you this, how like my sister's handicapped, my brother was eating stupid mushrooms and picking up rabid squirrels. And yeah, he's just a hot mess when he was a kid. So they kind of just like, you know, I was just the Kevin playing in bands, being in performances. And I was like the oldest in the family doing things. So I was staying out later. Mind you, I'm a good at two shoes, guys. I was staying out till 10. Like, not that bad. You know, I skipped school that one day. They still never know. But to like go look at a university, you know, nothing truly bad. But things started to get bad. And it really was because my parents are breaking up and they just didn't know it, but they thought it was me. Mm-hmm. And so I had to go to family therapy. And my parents were very, very religious at the time. They still are. And so we went to religious family therapy.
Oh, my goodness. And,
I wish I was told I just needed to get more Christian friends. Because that was the source of all my woes. And I was like, I think my parents are actually fighting because they're fighting. It's nothing to do with me. And once again, I'm a really good kid. I go to Sunday school. I even go to Sunday or church Bible camp and snow Bible camp.
Oh my
God. I can't get any more Christian friends. I think it's my parents. And I said that. I said that in therapy. Mm-hmm. I said, I think it's my parents. That didn't go over too well. So tell me a little bit about the details in this episode.
The title was The Fifth Wheel, and as we all know, that's referring to how Kevin felt when it came to the Pearson clan. Clan Pearson, he felt like the fifth wheel that was just added on to everything else. The director was Chris Koch, who was the director of Three Sentences and The Most Disappointed Man. So this is some pretty good directing skills here, some pretty good directing pedigree, at least in terms of This Is Us. So we're in good hands.
Yep.
And the writer was Vera Herbert, who wrote The Trip, What Now, and Still There. So those are the deets, my girlfriend. My girlfriend,
I'm your wife. Yeah. Well, how about the lemonade rating? What would you give this on a scale of 1 to 5 lemonades?
I'm giving this one a 4.7. It's not a full horse quite yet, but it's almost there. Okay. I think there's some really great stuff here. You know, the thing I think that kind of kept it back was the flashbacks.
Okay.
I feel like I didn't learn too much there. But you know what? I think this has some great stuff here.
I would agree.
Especially when you look at it in context.
I'm giving it a big old 4.9. Mandy Moore. All people need to be bowing down to Mandy Moore in this episode. Holy freaking smokes. We also got a shout out to Jack's porn star mustache. So big old 4.9. Now we'll talk about the GVGs. So the good, the bad, and the great for this episode. My good for this episode was just the fact that there is nothing like family, like grown up siblings, mom, dad, family, because they've gone through so much, because they have so much history, they can fight, make up, love, and almost hate all at the same time. I mean, think about the things that were just said in therapy. And then here with that sound clip that we played later on, they're pretty much making up. And you know, it's great because with family, when you do have a family that can let things out every once in a while, they often do get to recover that quickly. So if you need to talk to your family, if you need to get it off your chest, I'm one to say, guys, say it. Feels a lot better.
Unless it's my family.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of Irish Catholic guilt. All the Irish Catholic guilt in my family.
I'm like, let's just rip the Band-Aid off. And you're like, no. My bad for this episode was how I felt for Rebecca. It's not that the acting was bad. It's not that the scenario was bad. But my heart just dropped for her in that therapy session when she was crying. When Kevin said, just admit it. Admit that Randall was your favorite. Mm-hmm. And she said, he was easier. He didn't, you know, turn away from me. And he didn't abandon me when his father died. Oh, your heart just breaks for her. And heads like high five to Mandy Moore. And then my great just in general was that therapy session. It pushed and pushed. Because at first, I was kind of like Beth. I was like, what is going on with Kevin? Like, he is just Mr. Hollywood right now. Happy-go-lucky. Mm-hmm. And I loved that was all just the beginning. So how about you? What was your good, bad, and great?
My good was the new big three, or the others, as they were calling it.
Yes.
I love the fact that the show was finally exploring what it's like to revolve around the Pearson star a little bit. You know, we've been so focused on the big three and Rebecca and Jack that you forget that there are other people that are revolving around this family that seem like they can't penetrate it. They can't get into it.
And this is something that, you know, you are in a tight family. So
yes.
I'm not going to lie. People who date, marry, hang out with people in your family, this is how we all feel.
Oh, no. I swore on all the heavens that this was going to be your story. I truly felt that it was going to be how you wrote my sisters a letter and that whole thing, and they didn't respond to you. I thought that was going to be a story. And that's the honest God truth.
I was engaged and I wrote them both. Are you guys getting a second Mary story? I was engaged. My sister obviously is mentally and physically handicapped. She has about the abilities of like a 1.5-year-old. So I never got to have like that general sister bonding, chatting. So yeah, we were engaged and I wrote Blake's, both of his sisters, these heartfelt handwritten letters because I love handwritten letters. And I just told them, I'm excited. I'm excited to get to know you. I'm excited to get to know more about stories about your mom from when she was alive. And I'm just happy to be getting a new sister.
Mm-hmm.
Neither responded. And one told Blake, tell Mary we'll talk when she has kids because then we'll have something in common.
Oh, man.
So, yeah.
Shame.
That's how it feels to be the others. But I loved, you're so right. There are so many families. My family isn't like the Pearsons. No. My family isn't like yours.
Nope.
It's not like this huge, big, and they've gone through these momentous things, particularly deaths of a parent or who knows what, but the siblings or the aunts, they just kind of like cling together, man, in a different way that us outsiders, we're all Miggies.
Right.
We're all Miggies.
Y'all been sleeping on my boy Miguel.
I really liked it because, again, I think you're right, my darling. I've grown up in a family that is very similar to the Pearson dynamic.
Yes.
Not necessarily like
the siblings,
but you know, the a parent passing away, things going on. There are things that you just don't talk about, you know, and there are things that you kind of fall into, as a matter of fact. And it's hard, I realize, to penetrate, you know, whatever it is that connects not only my family, but the Pearson family in general. I mean, specifically because of their dad's death or Jack's death, right? But most specifically here in the other big three I really liked is Miguel. When he says, I married my best friend's wife and no one talks about it.
So good.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. I think there's also some other stuff going on here with that too, but I'll get into it. But I also really liked the whole thing too. When Beth and when Toby are talking about it, and they're kind of going on about the whole thing about Jack Pearson and how he's this saint and yada yada. And we as viewers have been built up to look at Jack as a saint.
Correct.
Even though they've kind of done this deconstruction thing, but when they start going down that path, Miguel isn't like, yeah, that's right. It's whoa. You're entering my no-fly zone here.
That was awesome.
I kind of almost played that as the first clip for this episode. It was close, but I didn't do it. And I hate that Miggy is again in my good. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. The bad for me was the flashbacks.
Is it because he's their stepdad?
Is
that what it is? He's trying real hard.
He is trying really hard. And he kind of won me over. And Jack Pearson's son, he kind of won me over in that whole thing. I just have this mental block with Miggy. I got a huge mental block. And even though Toby told me I was hating on him, I'm sleeping on him, I've been sleeping on him. Still am. But I don't know. I'm just not a big fan. Still, I'm not ready to get there yet.
Okay.
I'm not emotionally capable of handling Miggy yet. The bad for me was the flashbacks. I was not a huge fan of this one because it's not something that we don't already know. We already kind of knew this whole thing with Kevin and taking himself out of the family dynamic and kind of being a little melodramatic and that whole thing.
But I will say that this came after the mid-season break of season two.
Right.
So you and I have been flying through this, and we're like, of course you remember the pool episode, right? Because that was earlier this summer. Mm-hmm. But for everybody else, that was over a year before. So I think that for people who are binging, yes, it's like, we get it. Yes. Kevin felt ignored. We right. understand. But maybe for the timing that the show played out, they needed this.
Sure, I would agree. But I did like, though, in this flashback, when Rebecca goes on the floor and tries to sleep next to Kevin. Oh, I thought that was fantastic. Yes. That was some good stuff, especially as she's talking about how she knew that she probably made a mistake in just thinking Kevin was just going to be okay.
Yes.
He didn't need her full attention. But the great, and I have to give it to her, and I would probably say Mandy Moore here, because she is just phenomenal in this mm-hmm. episode. She's been phenomenal in season two, and I think as much as season one was about Jack, I think season two is that much more about Rebecca.
I agree.
And Mandy Moore is just killing it in this second season. But no, I'm not going to give it to her. I'm going to give it to Vera Herbert, who is the writer of this okay. episode. The whole scene with the therapy session, it's easily one of my favorites of This Is Us. There's just so much there. Mm-hmm. There's just so much to unpack, and there's so much to propel the rest of this season going forward. But the funny thing is that it actually reminded me, and here's one for all you Outlander fans out there, this actually reminded me of the Garrison Commander quite Ooh. A bit. Because the Garrison Commander, for all of you Outlander fans, was written as like a one-act play between Blackjack Randall and Claire Fraser. Now, for those of you who aren't watching, who haven't watched Outlander, you're like, what the hell are you talking about? Stop now. Go watch Outlander. Watch the Garrison Commander and come back.
Yes.
but it reminded me of this one-act play style writing where you have this balls to the wall, I mean, never relenting, like just fantastic bit of interplay between all of our characters. And there's stuff that they're actually really talking about. It's not just polite, as the therapist has said. And it reminded me of the Garrison Commander in that way. It was just a one-act play that played out right in front of our eyes, and it was a beautiful thing to watch. Mm-hmm. Between the acting, the writing, the direction, all of yep. it was just great. So, you did bring up something, my darling, when it comes to this episode. This was the mid-season premiere for This Is Us. So, you know, you're kind of right. I look back at this episode and I kind of expected it to be a little bit better. I expected it to have a little bit more.
Oh my gosh. Really?
For our characters. Like... I feel like there was a lot of recapping. I feel like there was like, okay, we're setting the board again.
I think that was for pacing, because if it was all that therapy room, we all would have been
Well, you're probably right. You're probably right.
And no, we're going to have probably a full Stomach and Knots episode really soon. Because we're now in the second half of season two.
Sure.
And we know we're going to have to figure things out with Jack's death soon.
That's coming. That
so
is
I
definitely
feel like,
coming.
I feel like they needed to be like, all right, here's a lighter version.
Well, yeah, I think they had to kind of reset the board here. Because you know how people watch network TV, right? I mean, they kind of come in and out of it.
Yeah.
You'll have a bunch of people who will, you know, start it, and then they'll miss a number of weeks, and then they'll say, "Oh, screw it! I'll just watch it later. Maybe I'll catch it on demand or whatever." And then they get back into it, or they don't come back at all. But then they hear all the hype, and they're like, "Oh, maybe this is the right time to get back in." So I kind of understand why this episode was the way it was. In its context, as we're watching it right now, when you're binging it, it's a little redundant, and that's what kind of brings it down for me.
Yeah.
But when you're looking at it in context, it's actually kind of smart. And it's kind of smart because it's giving you tons of exposition, it's giving you tons of information mm-hmm. that you would have not known, or the therapy session, right? It's just a bunch of people talking, giving you info and resetting the board and resetting the whole thing for all of our new viewers. And they're doing it, they're giving you exposition without being so like exposition-y about it. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
When two characters are talking to one another, an example of exposition would be like, as you know, Mary, we're both married. So we should probably, when we go to bed, go sleep in the same bed. Correct, Mary? That's exposition. That's just giving you information that the characters already know, but the listeners or the viewers may not already know it. And I like how they did it because a therapy session is a good, interesting way in giving you that kind of exposition, right? Mm-hmm. It's an interesting inlet into how are we going to take the information that we've got from the previous seasons and here, how we've built up, and then transfer it to either the new viewers or reset the board for the current viewers. And think about it like this.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
Remember the Dino DNA sequence?
Of course I do.
Dino DNA, right? That is all exposition.
We took the DNA from a frog.
And that's all just information you wouldn't necessarily know.
Correct.
But they're telling you it in an interesting fashion. It's kind of meta in that way, right? It's like you're watching a movie where people are watching a movie.
Yes.
Who is trying to give you, the viewer, and the people in the film,
yes,
the information that you need to understand the dynamic of how Jurassic Park works.
Correct.
The same thing is happening here. We are watching this episode of characters who are going over their lives and actually being quite meta about the show in general, right?
I love it.
I mean, think about it. The meta part in all this. Randall says, oh man, we should have had our lives like documented or recorded like Boyhood style, like the movie by Richard Linklater. We should have had it recorded. That way we just go to the tape about it, right? Unbelievable.
Right.
Or how when Miguel says, I married my best friend's wife and nobody's talking about it.
Yeah.
Because nobody ever does talk about it on This Is Us. And like even when Kevin says, oh, it's the Randall show. Oh, it's the Randall show.
Yeah.
A lot of people have said Randall is, including myself, Randall is my binky.
Yep.
Randall is the best part of This Is Us. It's the Randall show, essentially. Think of like that self-reflection from the writers. And that's interesting.
Correct.
It's an absolutely interesting aspect of this episode.
So, you know what else they touched upon?
Mm-hmm.
Tess.
Oh, you know what, my darling?
And how sorry he is for Tess. And Kevin, like, literally was like, how messed up is Tess? She's had XYZ happen to her. Pretty much everything I said the last episode.
Bam! Just like that. A winner!
See, I'm telling you, Kevin and I, sadly, are often on the same wavelength.
But you called it. You called the whole thing. You were 100% right about how the whole thing with Tess would not only affect Tess herself, but affect Kevin and affect mm-hmm. Randall and the story going forward.
Well,
I gotta
give
you credit.
And going forward, so now the fact that Kevin did address this, we know that we are going to be seeing repercussions with Tess.
Mm-hmm.
We know that whether good or bad, we know that we're going to be following up with the Tess storyline a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yep. One of the things that I really like too here is, you know, we talked about Mandy Moore a little bit. When she was getting very upset about when Kevin says we are a family of addicts, you can just see the raw emotion,
like pure
bubbling,
defensive anger.
Like, oh my God, I cannot. Again, this is one of those things you don't talk about.
Yeah.
Right. You just don't. All the Catholic guilt.
Yes.
And when, oh my God, when he's talking about being an addict and how Kate is an addict and how he is an addict, his dad was an addict, his dad's dad was an addict, and all you can think of and all you can see is Rebecca trying to paint Jack in the picture that she always wanted him to be in,
yep,
which is their superhero, their saint, the legend of, yep, Jack Pearson.
And
right?
Now, mind you, the other two, Kate and Randall, knew this stuff about Jack.
Sure.
You know, Kate was the first person that Jack spoke to about his alcoholism, but Kevin really saw him weak about it. Mm-hmm. And I think that that plagued him. Whereas we don't really see Randall right now talk to his dad about it. And we saw Kate being like, it's okay, no problem. Like, we'll work through this together. Mm-hmm. You know, I know you can do it. So, but Kevin, it stuck with him and it shaped his view of his father.
She even, here's one of the things that comes up in the flashbacks that I think is kind of slightly underplayed. Not only is Rebecca trying to protect Jack's persona and protect his legacy after his death, but she's also kind of taking on the role of, she says bad guy. She's the bad guy mm-hmm, in the family, mm-hmm. right? She's even kind of like supplementing this notion of Jack being a saint, even in real life, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, it's funny because you do see Jack, and he's like, "Yeah, I took Cage to the ice cream thing again." And like, as a man and having a daughter who just cannot get enough ice cream in her life, I kind of feel for Jack here.
Yeah,
I kind How come? Of because, man, I mean, like. You don't want to upset your kids, and she was already upset as it was because he kind of went about getting her to do exercise in this really wonky way, like mm-hmm. go run after her, just like treating her like she's a dog, you know. Go run after it, Kate. I was watching. I was like, oh man.
And then he tells her why. Why am I doing this? I'm tired. I don't want to do it. And it's so tough because think about it. He was playing catch with Kevin. That's mm-hmm. just what he did with his active child. That's right. How he knew to be active. And yet it's not like he put on Madonna and had a dance party with Kate. Well, he doesn't know.
He did do the Madonna Halloween party.
No, but that's what I'm saying is that like it's hard for him. Kate probably would have liked the modern day Zumba is what I'm getting at. Okay? She probably would have liked some music and dancing and shaking her groove thing, but what was tough is he had her do an activity that wasn't her activity and then told her why.
Yeah.
Told her why.
And then I don't blame him for wanting to take her to ice cream. You don't ever want to see a kid upset.
But I also don't blame him for telling her.
That's
because
true.
He is concerned. I mean, I wouldn't give her ice cream. I wouldn't have. I would have been like, let's go make
some
cinnamon
kale.
Apples. Not kale. But I don't think it's fair to give everyone it, except Kate. So like back in that first couple of episodes they all had nice fun cereal and she had half of a grapefruit.
Right, right.
That doesn't feel right.
Yeah, that does not feel right. And I kind of feel bad for Rebecca here. And for that very purpose, because, you know, I keep going back to that whole thing of like when they had the really on the nose imagery of Kate trying to hold all the doors in the cabin, and she's like yep. trying to lock them all. And
you mean Rebecca?
Kate. Rebecca. Well, I don't know why I keep getting those two mixed up. When Rebecca is holding all the doors and trying to keep them closed and locked and everything, I do feel bad for her here because. Kevin has put expectations on Rebecca. I didn't get enough love from my mother. Randall has placed all of the blame on Rebecca for making the decision about her birth father mm-hmm. and how he never got enough time with her. Kate, there is so many mommy problems with Kate that I think we can have volumes and volumes of like Encyclopedia Britannica of her mommy problems with Rebecca. But everyone has just laid this all on Rebecca, and I don't know if she deserves it all.
You know. Rebecca says it Rebecca says it multiple times that they're just trying to do their best. Mm-hmm. You know, throughout the whole series, you just know that they really have been trying to do their best. And I love how flawed her character is, how real her character is.
Yeah, especially this season. This season, they've really made it an effort to give her a little bit more than just nagging wife.
And seeing her cozy up to Kevin.
Oh, built my heart.
You know... This episode scared me. I didn't mind the flashbacks that much. It scared me because I was like, gosh, these parents are busy. Here they are trying to go on like a free vacation mm-hmm. and they have to worry about losing Randall's glasses. Kate eating ice cream all the time. Kevin is just being a punk. You know, they don't get to relax at all.
Right.
And then when they even sleep, two of their kids climbed into bed. Rebecca woke up like completely shocked.
Another kid's on the floor.
Oh my God, there's three kids in my room. I can't even sleep in peace. And it just made me feel like, gosh, being a parent is tough, and I know that already with a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, but man,
well, I was just going to say, we woke up with two kids and a cat in our bed last night.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Oh, man, that was... When that happens, I got to get out of the bed. I'm 6'4", 250 pounds. I can't have three other humans in bed
with
me.
It's also been 95 degrees.
Yeah, I know.
That doesn't help.
Finally, I think, are you buying Kevin's whole... I don't want to say pity party because, you know, Randall's right. I think there's different perspectives, and it's easy. Coming from a person who has a very odd family dynamic, I think odd is probably the nice word for it, but it's a very odd family dynamic. I can kind of see how Kevin would get this in his brain, how Kate was Kate, Randall was Randall, and he was just never paid attention to, and this is why I hate my life, and you know, maybe I've avoided my dad's death emotionally, but these are all the problems, and these are why, and I'm an addict because of this. Are you buying it all?
Yeah.
How come?
I buy the attention-seeking part because I think that's what happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And not that I'm on that same level as him. I'm not the Manny. But, you know, I went into a performance degree. I went on television. I worked in the TV and film industry. And I was like, what am I doing here?
Right, yeah.
This isn't really me. Like, why did I have to do pageants all my life? Why? Mm-hmm. Because I wanted to be praised. You know, and really I just wanted to be praised by my parents. So I can get that part of Kevin. I feel bad that it's taking him this long to understand that, though.
Ooh, yeah.
I wish that he had some depth to be able to deal with it. Of course he's going to have to deal with his dad's death, but this is so much more than that. I think Kevin will deal with that too, and I appreciate that he has to pull back these layers. I appreciate that he did have family therapy where he could start this. I hope that this isn't a one and done. I hope that we continue to see Kevin in therapy. Kevin is a big old onion, and this is just the beginning.
Sure. Sure. All right. Final thoughts, my darling, on this episode.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. I'm a huge believer in therapy and talking. So it's hard. Oh my gosh. I love how you laugh because I'm like, babe, we're climbing mountains.
Oh,
we're not
man.
Disagreeing and fighting. We're just climbing mountains together.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm kind of laughing at myself and with you. And I'm still laughing at all the on all the Irish Catholic guilt in my family. I just it's I don't want to say it's toxic, but it's certainly not good.
I'm just gonna plead the fifth and be a Beth. I'm just gonna be like, let's go to the bar.
Let's go to the bar and drink.
Did Beth not know that Miguel married his best friend's wife? Did she look shocked to you?
No. I think she.
Okay.
How do you not know that?
I don't know.
I mean, it does confirm for us, though, that they are indeed married. I mean, I think we've all kind of anticipated.
Yeah, we've known that. I've known that. I mean,
but they didn't actually confirm it. Like, they didn't say he is married to Rebecca. Like,
you just thought they were living together.
Well, you know how old people do things sometimes. They just kind of live. Well, like, remember the neighbors that we had?
People, not old people.
Well, you know what I mean.
People just shack up, man. Yeah, they shack up.
And like,
you thought Miggy and Rebecca were shacking up?
Yeah, but like, I know that
I
had
that right term.
I had an Uncle Paul, but he wasn't my uncle. Like, he's like he was my uncle's cousin, but we called him Uncle Paul. Right?
Okay.
Maybe they called Miggy Grampy because he was just grandpa.
Well, I'm just wondering, like, if Randall had always told her, oh, it's just my mom's longtime friend. Like, I don't know if Beth before this point knew that it was his best friend. I don't know. I have to rewatch it a couple of times to see her reaction.
Here's some Irish Catholic guilt for you. You ready? I'm not sure if you know this story. You're going to get a Blake story,
oh my God,
dear listener.
This is a bonus.
This is a total bonus. So one of my aunts, she was married. She had kids.
Okay.
She had four kids with her husband.
Way to go.
I'm gonna keep them nameless.
Yep.
They're never going to listen to it, but I don't want to out her if she hasn't been... We're just gonna go with it, okay? She had four kids with my uncle, and when I was a kid, she and my uncle were living up in Newton and everything. And
don't tell where they live.
Well, we would get together for family parties and family events, and my aunt would be there, and my uncle wouldn't be there. he just would be somewhere else. I don't know where he was. But, like, there was this other guy that was there with my aunt. And he'd come up. And we'd be like, hey, uncle, blah, blah, blah. He wasn't the uncle.
Who was he?
He was the side piece. And no one ever talked about it. No one ever said.
So she'd come with her kids to, like, your birthday.
Yeah. And Uncle blah, blah, blah
with,
would show
like,
up.
Her male mistress.
Yeah. And he'd be there.
Is that called, like, a mistress? A mistress, though?
Hey, but nobody ever talked. Nobody ever said, hey, auntie.
Where's our uncle?
Where's Uncle, what's his name? Who's this jabroni? And the guy just showed up for years. And then the guy died.
Oh.
Because he was older.
Okay.
He was much older than my aunt.
Okay.
He was about my aunt's father's age.
Okay.
So my grandfather was his age.
Hey, okay. Yep.
He died.
Yeah.
And the other uncle would come back again. And no one ever said anything.
No one.
Just, you didn't talk. It was a no-fly zone.
Oh, my God. Your family is so different than mine. Imagine if I had been there. I would say, who the heck are you?
Who are you?
Are you shacking up with my aunt?
Are you shacking up?
Like little 8-year-old Mary. Are you shacking up?
Who are you?
What are you doing here?
What's your name?
Where do you live?
Well, how are you in my family?
Do you guys have sex? I learned about it on the bus.
Girls have vagina,
okay,
boys
stop,
have penises.
Stop. Children are listening. Children are listening.
So, yeah, there's a good Blake story for you.
That was a good one. All right, wow. Let's wrap up this episode.
Final thing I just got to say, I love when Randall fell on the floor after he finds out that Tess thinks his brownies aren't as good as the other lady. Oh, that was great. Okay.
He's such a nerd and I love it.
He's such a nerd boy. All right, Puzzle Watch.
Yep.
Rebecca said that the kids were, in fact, 17. When Jack died. And she also says that Randall was the only one who didn't abandon her in the aftermath. So I think we kind of already knew all of this, but it just confirms all of our expectations of this. That it's coming. And my darling, do you have a hot take of the week?
No.
But I do.
Okay.
Given the fact that we heard Miggy say, hey, I married my best friend's wife, and no one's talking about it.
Yep.
And that's my no-fly zone. Like, don't go there. We are absolutely going to get a Miguel episode.
Can't wait.
We are totally going to get it, and I think I'm kind of all in on it.
I think we're also going to get a Beth Randall episode.
What do you mean?
The meeting. I want backstories on all these
people. Oh, no, but the Miguel one is important.
Okay, it is.
The Miguel
really
one is important
is.
Because it gives his perspective on the divorce and then maybe Jack's passing away and then the courtship between he and Rebecca and getting and maybe even getting to this point of like, hey, that's my no-fly zone. We are absolutely going to get a Miggy episode. And I've just, you know what? I'm going to let Toby tell you.
Y'all been sleeping on my boy Miguel.
There's no more sleeping on Miguel because we're going to get one from him. And that's, I think the writers are just pointing in that direction. Are you ready to close this bad boy out, my darling?
Yes.
All right. I think so too. Let's close it out.
Thank you all so very much for listening. We are raring to go in the month of September. We are a mere 20 some odd days away from the premiere of season 3. So if you're tuning along with us, please, please, please leave a written review in iTunes or your podcast app of choice. This way, people who are going to be searching for a This Is Us podcast when the new season arrives will know where to look. And on that note, I don't have a new review to read.
Uh-oh.
So if anyone wants to write a new one, that will make me really happy.
And remember, guys, as we get closer to season 3, when you check with us on social media, use the hashtag ThisIsUs2. That way we can all communicate together and hopefully get some of your feedback on the podcast as season 3 comes to approach on September 25th.
Well, for now, I'm Mary.
My name's Blake.
And this is Us 2.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.